Welcome to Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio. The Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic horse racing and breeding. Check us out at www.theracingbiz.com. Today's podcast is presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association and the Virginia Equine Alliance, making Virginia racing history. Thanks to our sponsors, the Maryland Jockey Club, owners of Laurel Park and Pimlico Racecourse, Pimlico, home of the Preakness, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association and Maryland Million Limited, Maryland, we grow horses, Street Magician, the promising young sire standing at Heritage Stallions, Comlo Insurance, your course for all horse insurance, the Delaware Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, representing Delaware's horsemen, and the West Virginia Breeders' Classics. Podcast, we'll check out the week that was in the Mid-Atlantic with our Win Play Show segment, three stories that were in the money this week. We'll also check out our big mover of the week, the horse that caught our eye and perhaps is moving on up. Later in the show, we'll be visited by Nick Hahn, the leading Virginia analyst. Nick will have a look back at the racing at Oak Ridge this past weekend, a look ahead to the racing at Great Meadow this coming weekend, and we'll chat a little bit about the Breeders' Cup. Stay tuned for the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Let's turn our attention now to the week that was in the Mid-Atlantic with our Win Play Show segment, three stories that were in the money in Mid-Atlantic racing. In the show spot, Delaware's done. Delaware Park concluded its 2015 live race meet on Saturday, the 17th of October, and it concluded with essentially flat financial results versus 2014. Overall gross wagering from all sources on the live product in Delaware was up about 1.9%, but with an extra day of racing, that meant that the daily average was just up about 0.5%. On the racetrack, the action was lively. Sheer Drama took the Grade 1 Delaware Handicap, the meet's big feature. Calamity Kate won the Grade 3 Delaware Oaks and turned that around to be second in the Grade 1 Cotillion at Parks later on. Jockey Carol Cedeno led all jocks with 64 winners, and Jamie Ness took the training title. So congrats to the successful racers at Delaware Park this year. Going forward, the story of Delaware Park that's going to be most interesting to watch, I think, is going to be how its future plays out. It's buffeted by competition from New Jersey, from Maryland, from Pennsylvania, even from West Virginia, both with casinos and racetracks. And how Delaware makes its way in this competitive world going forward is the trick to watch. So that's our show story, Delaware done for 2015. In the play spot, Quaid steps down. Maryland Racing Commission Chairman Bruce Quaid announced at Tuesday's Racing Commission meeting that he would be stepping aside as chairman of the commission to be replaced by longtime commission member and past chairman John McDaniel. Quaid served as chairman for the last 3 years, and during that time, the commission has had an exceptionally productive, occasionally tumultuous period of time. Among the things that it's accomplished were brokering a 10-year deal among the tracks, horsemen, and breeders to govern racing, helping the state to emerge as one of the leaders in adopting the Association of Racing Commissioners' international recommended national uniform medication policies, improvements that the commission has made to the state's bonus program for breeding and racing horses in Maryland, which came about as a result of its breeding task force that it put together, and have been credited by many with helping to spur something of a renaissance in the Maryland breeding industry. and the commission's aggressive response to a spate of breakdowns at Laurel Park and adopting health and safety measures. Quade has earned almost universal, certainly widespread respect and plaudits from observers of the racing scene and has been considered one of the really top chairmen in recent years in Maryland. So Quade will be stepping down. McDaniel will take that position, and he will preside over the next Racing Commission meeting on November 17th. And certainly it has been a productive period of time with Bruce Quade in as chairman of the Maryland Racing Commission. That is our play story. Quade steps down. And finally, in the win spot in this Win Play Show segment of the Off to the Races podcast here on the Racing Biz Radio, $1 million. The 30th running of the Maryland Million took place Saturday, October 17th at Laurel Park. And continuing something of a steady drumbeat of good news coming out of Maryland, the numbers were very solid. Overall, handle was up about 37% to more than $3.7 million. And the track announced an increase in attendance of over 1,000 people to more than 19,000. Now, that latter figure we can take with a little bit of a grain of salt, given that there is no turnstile count because now that admission is free, there are no turnstiles at Laurel Park. Nevertheless, longtime observers of the scene said that the first floor of the facility and the track apron were as crowded as they had seen them in years. On the racetrack, the action was exciting and the fields were competitive. Admiral's War Chest scored a front-running victory in the featured $150,000 Maryland Million Classic. Flash Phelps continued his steady improvement, took the turf by three-quarters of a length. Lion-hearted Lady broke through to win the Maryland Million Distaff on the Philly side of things. In the ladies, on the turf, Monster Sleeping won for the second time in 3 years. And finally, in the sprint, Jax and the Deck got his nose down on the money to nip Ben's Cat. Third straight year that Ben's Cat got nipped at the wire, leaving him stalled with three Maryland Million victories and tied with five other runners for the most in history. Among the younger set, the two-year-olds, Corvus, a first-time starter for Katie Voss and Bobby Manfuso, scored a 25-1 shocker in the nursery. And among the fillies, the two-year-old fillies in the Maryland Million Lassie, it was Lexington Street blazing to a 5 3/4 lengths win. So that is our win story of the day. $1 million, 30th running of the Maryland Million. And so that was the week that was in the Mid-Atlantic with our Win Play Show segment. Again, our three stories in the money, in the win spot, the 30th running in the Maryland Million, in the play spot, Maryland Racing Commission Chairman Bruce Quade steps down, and in the show spot, Delaware Park concludes its 2015 meet. Let's turn our attention now to the big mover of the week. Our big mover of the week, the horse that caught our eye and perhaps is moving on up, goes to Lexington Street. Lexington Street's the two-year-old filly who won the Maryland Million Lassie on Saturday, October 17th at Laurel Park, and she did it in smashing style, winning by 5 3/4 lengths in a time of 111.13. Now, how fast was 111.13? The boys in the nursery a few races later did the same 6 furlong distance in 112 and change, and Ben's Cat and Jax and the Deck, who fought it out in the Maryland Million Sprint 2 races after the Lassie, did it in 110.74. So Lexington Street was moving on out when she won easily. Here's what it sounded like when Dave Rodman, the voice of Maryland Racing, called it in the Maryland Million Lassie.
Jumper on the outside, Fly Girl down to the rail, and Lexington Street rolls in action on the outside. Lexington Street and heavy on Toledo, sweeping up on the outside into the clear just outside the final furlong with a 2-length lead on Fly Girl, then Table Jumper and all the others. She rolls is trying to hang on to 4th, a 16th to come. Lexington Street and the Maryland Million Lassie flashing home to win by almost 5 at the end.
Lexington Street is a 2-year-old filly by Street Sense out of the Stormcat mare Lexington Girl. She was bred in Maryland by Marathon Farms Inc. and is owned by her breeder. She was ridden a victory by Evian Toledo and is trained by Gary Capuano. Congratulations to all our connections. That's a filly we'll be keeping an eye on as we go forward. Lexington Street, our big mover of the week. Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Our next segment is brought to you by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association and the Virginia Equine Alliance, making Virginia racing history. We're about to be joined by Nick Hahn, longtime Virginia racing analyst and observer, to give us a lowdown on what the latest news from the Old Dominion is.
And here is Nick Hahn from beautiful Charlottesville, Virginia, joining us on the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Nick, welcome aboard.
Yes, hey, exciting time of year approaching the Breeders' Cup, and the Virginia rural racing calendar is in full season.
And let's start with that Virginia rural racing calendar. One of the interesting things I think that's gone on with the Virginia Equine Alliance is that it really is an alliance of flat horsemen and jump horsemen and harness horsemen, which is something pretty unusual. It doesn't happen in a lot of states. And I know the sulky side was in evidence this past weekend at Oak Ridge, and I believe Nick Hahn was there to see it.
Yeah, I was out there on Sunday on closing day. Out at Oak Ridge, and I mean just a beautiful venue, whether it's music or Civil War reenactments and Camp Jeep and whatever activity they have out there, it's just a great rural country venue. And the track was drawing praises from all the horsemen, the condition of the track. It's the first time that they raced at Oak Ridge in some 14 years or so, and the crowds were, they started off slow. It was a miserable day on Saturday, on opening day last weekend, and each day seemed to get a little bit better. Their closing day, the Virginia Day of Champions, they had 9 races on the card. And, you know, with the track being, you know, the bigger oval, you know, plenty of space to race, it kind of had a little bit of the harness feel that you had at Colonial Downs back in the day, where there was a lot of passing and that kind of thing, you know, in the racing itself. But, you know, for an event that's being reintroduced, it did well. And I think everybody that went to the races was happy with what they saw.
Does it feel to you like this is a thing that, you know, that this might actually work in the long run?
I think so. I think they have to figure out how to get off-track betting as part of the equation there, just to help with the finances a little bit more, just to get, you know, another source of income. I think they have to get some tradition into the calendar, but you know, this is leaf peeping season, and they were racing almost in the peak colors of Nelson County, and it's very picturesque. It's like a 4,000 acre parcel. In many ways, it's kind of like Morven, you know, in terms of just being a large estate where you can have multiple events going on the property, and you don't even know that the other one is going on. So I think it's something, if they get on a regular calendar, if they, you know, they may have to do some supplemental events, wine tasting or 5Ks or something to just add a little bit more to the event. I think it could catch on as long as they get good weather and they can keep, you know, get some stability in their calendar, so to speak.
That seems like something really important. I mean, people are going to need to know. And I mean, that's also a thing going to your other point, that they're going to need for to be able to make a dent in the national, you know, in the simulcast audiences. People got to know when there's racing. And that's obviously something that they were struggling with, given all the uncertainty that's been in Virginia, but something that maybe they can work on looking into 2016.
Sure. There were, you know, some lines they were looking for teller help on the closing weekend. They, you know, it really was. Every day got a little bit better than the one before, and the attendance was there. The handle started getting a little better. They started out with 200 on the first day, and there may have been, you know, close to 1,000 people there that closing day. There were the weather turned out well, cool conditions, very comfortable, and you can see all the racing from the hillside there. So they do have a steeplechase track there, so you know, maybe thoroughbreds, you know, this country style racing can be part of their calendar as well moving forward. The Hollands are great hosts. I walked in the door with my mom and my brother, and I didn't get 10 steps in the door before Rhonda Holland, you know, greeted me. They're very hands-on, very welcoming, and they are just outstanding hosts.
And how was the wagering? Did Nick's Picks cash any tickets?
I tell you what, I didn't want to leave. I could only make 5 races on Sunday. And, you know, my brother and my mom were dragging me, you know, out the door. You know, it was just I can't really understand it, but I didn't drop a ticket. Maybe I'm in the wrong breed, you know, with the thoroughbred. But, I did very well. Lots of ones in my wallet, you know, walking out the door there, which usually isn't the case.
Well, that's good news. Now, looking ahead, we're coming up to Great Meadow this coming weekend, and there's going to be a mix of jump racing and flat racing at Great Meadow, as I understand it. Talk about, you know, what people, if people should check this out and what they can expect if they do.
Well, it's going to be a very similar event as they had in the spring. You're going to see 5 races over the jumps. They're going to have the Zeke Ferguson, which is the 4th race on the card on Saturday. They start racing at noon, and it continues to like 5:30. I mean, you know, 9 races this time of year, you got to start early, and it, you know, you got to get done before dark. So they're not going to have lights up there at the International Gold Cup. So, you know, certainly you have to get the racing in, but they got the International Gold Cup, which is the 5th race going over the hurdles, and then they have 4 races over the flat to round out their card. And you know, it's kind of reaching the point, you know, kind of looking back at it, just you know, taking a quick glance at the steeplechase racing, you know, for a moment. You have horses coming back like Grinding Speed, who has won over the Timber, you know, several times in the International Gold Cup. You know, you have the last year's Zeke Ferguson winner coming back, I'll Be Deputy, and you also have the 2013 Inti, who won a couple of races, not only over the jumps, but was a pretty good horse over the flats when he raced over the flats earlier in his career. I remember distinctly winning a race out of Keeneland. So, you know, they have horses coming back, and what you're kind of starting to see as well, and this is really encouraging, is that you're seeing horses that, like, for instance, raced at the Virginia Downs event last month, and they're coming back. And so, you know, you can see where these horses are finding success at Great Meadow, and you know, a horse by the name of Renown is coming back to race. You know, Boss is going to have a couple of horses there again. You know, it's a great opportunity for a lot of these. They're very proud of the fact that that either Virginia breds or Virginia breeders are leading, you know, are participating well in this event. That's encouraging, considering all the uncertainty that they had, you know, coming into this with the fall calendar. The fields are full, and hopefully they'll stay full, and they hope to attract 35,000 or 40,000 people. That's what they traditionally do, and it's you know, kind of looking at, here's another, you know, to kind of gauge the health of the race. We saw Complete Street win on up at Laurel, the Brookmead, on, you know, where the Virginia Stakes, you know, part of the Virginia Stakes calendar there, and Complete Street is entered at Great Meadow on Saturday. So, you know, these are good horses. You know, the participation is encouraging. You know, how long it will sustain, you know, that excitement, we'll have to see. But, you know, they for what they had, I can tell you from what they had coming into the fall and the way that they're kind of leaving it, that they should be very happy with the results considering the circumstances.
And how many flat races are we looking at for Saturday?
We're looking at four flat races.
Four flat and five over the jumps.
Yep. The first five are going to be over the jumps, and the last four will be over the flat. And that's very similar to what they did on Kentucky Derby Day as part of the Virginia Gold Cup.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said they do have kind of the controversial horse running in this race. If you remember from last year, I think it was last year, a horse by the name of Pride of the Fleet, which has been a real game horse, runs on the flat circuit here, runs a lot for the training flats and ran at Colonial Downs back in the day, just a journeyman horse. Last time, you know, without the starting gate in place, that was the horse that just broke out and went wire to wire and left a kind of a bitter taste in some of the Virginia horsemen's mouths, you know, as a result of getting that great head start. But that's a horse that's coming back. I have an inclination that, you know, Pride of the Fleet is not going to get, you know, quite the quick start that he got back, you know, back when he won here.
Yeah, I think we both heard a little bit about that quick start last year, and certainly that's an issue that you know, some horsemen have talked about, is they really flat horsemen with the shorter races, as opposed to, you know, the timber races going 3, 4, 5 miles, these 7 furlongs, mile and eighth races, flat horsemen really prefer having a starting gate.
Yes. When you're going that short of a distance and, you know, I think that eventually they want to get to a point where they are using regular jockeys and they would implement a starting gate, even though the course will be rolling and they'll be going up hills and stuff. I think they do want to reach that point. And they're making the, you know, the small adaptations here as they go. You know, the racing that was featured at Virginia Downs had the shortcut, if you will, going through the infield to help with the configurations of all the course routes, you know, when they run at all the various distances. And, you know, that's something that they added now, you know, maybe here within the next year or so, they'll add the starting gate. And it will kind of move a little bit towards conventional racing as you and I know it, but, you know, the concept here in Virginia is they kind of want to move toward that, but they don't really want to get there. You know, they want to leave, you know, this style of racing, and, you know, it's been immensely popular here, and it's kind of the transformation that they're trying to seek, although it won't be a complete transformation.
Right, right. Now, is there going to be a Nick's Picks tip sheet to help bettors navigate the wilds of the Gold Cup on Saturday?
Yep, working on the tip sheet here, trying to get some of these jump races analyzed, which is a bit more difficult for me because I don't see it on a regular basis, but the we'll have the Knicks tip sheet ready. It did extremely well on Gold Cup Day, which I was actually a scratch of bizarre circumstances. They were a little under the weather, I think I won 4 of my first 5 races there. So I'd like to think it's popular enough to bring back. And then, of course, on Virginia Downs Day, the tip sheet went 3 for 6 on the top winners there. It's been doing well. Yeah, I'm not going to jump off it now, and keep rolling with the tip sheet here, and hopefully the success will continue as well.
Well, that sounds good, and people will be able to find that on the racingbiz.com once that's together. I'm Frank Vespi. We're joined by Nick Hahn on the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Nick, let's turn our attention from what's going on in Virginia to maybe what's going on with some Virginia breds and Virginia raised horses. Breeders' Cup coming up in a week, and we'll be talking a lot about that next week, but the pre-entries came out and, you know, certainly saw some familiar names with some Virginia, some connections to the Old Dominion. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Sure. We have a number of horses, and we've kind of talked about the branding issue of Virginia horses in the past, where a horse like Tonalist, who was not a Virginia bred per se, was foaled in Kentucky, but came here shortly after, you know, being born, and was raised in Virginia for the first 16 months of his life. This horse went on to win the Belmont Stakes last year in defeating a California Chrome's bid for the Triple Crown. Tonalist is certainly on his path toward the Classic. It's kind of exciting with this horse because this horse was bred by Woods Lane Farm in the Plains, right down the street from Great Meadow, and the breeders got interested in horse racing with Steeplechase Racing. So as part of their success on the Steeplechase circuit, they decided to breed this horse, and you know, lo and behold, he could be a big factor in the Breeders' Cup Classic, you know, kind of coming out of the Steeplechase farms of Northern Virginia here. So it kind of an interesting angle there, and you know, just an exceptional story with Tonalist, who comes in with you know, began his 2015 campaign with a win in the Westchester, and has a win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup by over four lengths coming into the Breeders' Cup here, the Breeders' Cup Classic. So that's a horse we're certainly gonna be focusing on next week. There's a horse by the name of Styx. Let me see if I get this right.
Stately Dude.
Yeah. Juvenile here. Broke his maiden at Saratoga. It was fourth in the Breeders' Cup Futurity. Is bred by Canyon Lake Thoroughbred. So I'm not exactly sure who that is. First Dude is the sire of this horse. But we'll hope to find out a lot more about Styx Stately Dude next week as well. Then you have some other horses like Honor Code, who's kind of the eyelash horse, if you will, of Sarge Reynolds, who's the commissioner of the Virginia Racing Commission. He has a very small ownership. I call him the eyelash horse because that's about as much as he owns of the horse. But, you know, it's still exciting, you know, to have a horse racing in the Breeders' Cup Classic there. The Distaff is a horse very near and dear to me. This actually is a Virginia bred, bred in part by Keswick Stable just down the street here in Charlottesville. And as I told the story on Off to the Races during the Triple Crown, Stellar Wind was literally foaled about a mile from my house here in Advance Mills. And I could almost see the barn from this little mountaintop that I'm on here, you know, where this horse was foaled. So that's certainly exciting to see the success. It's funny that a lot of these Virginia bred horses, like Stellar Wind, has had a lot of success in California, has won two stakes, one at Santa Anita and one at Del Mar out there. We'll probably have Victor Espinoza aboard. This is a horse sired by Curlin. And so that's a horse in the Distaff on Friday. Then there's Valid, who has two wins coming into the Turf Mile. This is a horse bred by the legendary Edward P. Evans, so we'll be looking at that horse in the Turf Mile. And then there's some other horses that just have connections through the ownership in Virginia, horses like Wicked Strong, who is in part owned by Maggie Bryant with the Centennial ownership there. Remember, this horse was second in the Travers last year, hadn't really done a whole lot in the money a lot but it hasn't had a win since the Jim Dandy in 2014. And then you have Appealing Tale, who is bred by Susie and Pug Hart. This is a horse that won the Pat O'Brien out at Del Mar, you know, has Virginia connections there. And, you know, so there are a lot of – we're actually going to try and see if we can find some other Virginia interest here. But that's a pretty good roster, you know, considering the state of breeding in Virginia. You know, it's impactful. And some of these horses, you know, will have success in these Breeders' Cup races. They're certainly expected to.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, you mentioned one of the horses you mentioned was Stellar Wind, who is an interesting horse. She also broke her maiden at Laurel before being sold to Ronis Racing out in California, and where she's done her best running since. But she figures to be one of the really live contenders in the distaff. She won the Santa Anita Oaks earlier this year. She's a really talented racehorse, and so it will be a lot of fun to see some of these Virginia bred and Virginia connected horses next week. And that's something we're going to be talking about a lot next week on this podcast. We're going to put together a handicapping roundtable with Nick and a couple other folks and kind of get people's take on what's going to be happening in the Breeders' Cup. But Nick, I guess we're about to wrap up here. What are you going to be up at Great Meadow this weekend? What are you looking at this weekend?
I hope to. It's been a little shaky here this fall, but I'm all set to go up there this Saturday, and you know, have everything lined up for the Breeders' Cup. Hope to do some on-site reporting from Lexington next week on the Virginia breds and any other angles, you know, and horses, you know, coming from Maryland or from Laurel as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a blitz here to conclude the racing calendar in 2015. And you know, I mean, just what a great theater we have in front of us with American Pharoah, with Beholder, with, you know, horses like Stellar Wind and some of these horses in these other races, Breeders' Cup races, and it's, you know, a little bit of a warm up there with 35,000 fans this weekend at Great Meadow. I mean, it's not bad for what many people would consider horse racing's off season.
Yes, if the sport is dying, it sure is making a lot of noise on its way out. So anyway, well, Nick, thank you for joining us. Always good to catch up. This has been Nick Hahn on the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Thanks so much, Nick.
Sure. Hey, thanks.
That was Nick Hahn with the Virginia Report. I am Frank Vespi, and I have been your host today on the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Thank you so much for being a part of it today and every day. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, the Virginia Equine Alliance, the Maryland Jockey Club, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Maryland Million Limited, Comlow Insurance, Street Magician, Fasig Tipton Company, Maryland Horse Industry Board, West Virginia Breeders Classics. Thanks so much to all. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in. Check us out next week when we have a Breeders' Cup themed show, including a handicapping roundtable with some of our expert handicappers. Look forward to seeing you this coming week on theracingbiz.com and chatting with you via podcast a week from today. Have a great week, everyone, and good luck at the windows.